Saul did not like it when God removed him as Israel's king. He spent 10 years trying to kill his replacement, David. Like David, some of us have been on the receiving end of spears thrown by those who hate us. Today, a look at some of the techniques people will use to destroy those they despise, and how believers should respond when they are attacked. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer's current series is on When You've Been Wronged. Today, we're learning about dodging spears, like the ones Saul threw at David, and the ones some of us throw at each other.
This past week, I was in another state and meeting with some pastors, and they were actually talking about someone. The person, he won't attend anything unless it's his party. If he didn't organize it, if his name isn't on it, he's not going to be there. In other words, he's offended if people don't attend his party, but you'd better attend my party, but I'm not going to attend yours. I met people like that. They have to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. If they're not in the middle of it, they're not there. And what they will do is try to destroy anyone who will take them from their little pyramid. Number three, he tried to drive a wedge between people. Oh, listen to me. Spear throwers will do this. This is what Saul did. He tried to convince his son, of all things, Jonathan, to kill David. Thankfully, Jonathan didn't. There are times when you should not obey your earthly father. And later on, you know what Saul says? He says to his own son, "You are the son of a perverse woman." Pardon me. He should have said, "You are the son of a perverse father." But spear throwers don't look at it that way. Also, what he tried to do is to manipulate and to kill with kindness. "Oh, go ahead, marry my daughter," hoping that when David does, the Philistines will come and kill David. All kinds of manipulation, sometimes done with a smile, and all kinds of kindness. Now, the question is, why does God let a guy like this live and rule for so long? By the way, he also played by a different set of rules. The Bible says that he took out all of the witches from the land. He says, "I'm going to do away with all occultism. All witches must die." And when he's in a tight place, he goes to a witch. Because what happens in his mind is, the rules that apply to you do not apply to me. It's called the law of the grand exception. Now, why is it that God chose Saul and let him rule so long? Gene Edwards, in his book, The Tale of Three Kings, an excellent little book that has inspired much of what I'm sharing with you today, says, "Why does God do such a thing? The answer is both simple and shocking. He sometimes gives unworthy vessels a greater portion of power so that it might eventually be revealed for all to see the true state of internal nakedness within that man." Wow. God sometimes exalts people, anoints them. There's oil on their forehead. They have the gift of prophecy. They are natural born leaders and they accomplish things, and yet they are spear throwers and they are mad, so that we might see what it is. Raw, naked human nature in all of its deceptions and perverseness. Now, as we shall see, there's a reason, of course, for God to do that. And if I may have a second quote at this point from Gene Edwards, he says that God wants to take out the Saul in us. Could there be anyone here today who has a little bit of Saul in them? Is that even possible? Or do we weed them all out before they come in here? Edward says, Saul is in your bloodstream, in the marrow of your bones. He makes up the very flesh and muscle of your heart. He is mixed into your soul. He inhabits the nuclei of your atoms. King Saul is one with you. You and I are King Saul. Now, how do we react if we have spears thrown at us? What should you do if you are living with someone who loves to throw spears? Could I give you a bit of advice? Number one, duck. Okay? Duck. David escaped out of his presence twice. David didn't hang around to become a martyr. He didn't say, Saul, you missed me twice, so here I am. And then he has a T-shirt with a target on it and say, here I am. I want to die here. No, he actually escaped. It's not wrong to get away from a spear thrower if you can. If you can put physical distance between you and the spear thrower, that's a very, very good idea. You say, but I can't run. I can't run and hide. There are no caves that I can hide in. Well, a couple of ideas as to how to duck. First of all, don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. You have to understand something about spear throwers. You have to realize that the evil that is in their heart, they see as belonging to others. And therefore, you see, the hostility and the anger that you receive, very probably, and the accusations even that are made are very, very probably accusations that apply to them. So there are times when we have to take people very personally and very seriously because they are pointing out things in our lives. And there are other times when we simply have to say, okay, he's looking into his own heart and thinking he's seeing me. Spear throwers are that way. You can't reason with them. Now, of course, there are many that you can reason with. I'm talking about extremes. If you've ever met someone who is truly evil, you'll discover that you cannot reason with them because everything that you say is going to be turned a half turn so that it'll come back at you. It will go through this filter, and in the end, the filter will come out making you look bad. Because remember, spear throwers are not interested in the truth. They are only interested in their own version of it. They know what they know what they know. So the first thing you should do, if you can, is try to get out of the way. Second, very important, don't become a spear thrower. You know, if many of us had been David, we'd have probably wrenched that spear out of the wall and said, just watch this, Saul. Boom! We'd have tossed it back really fast and very hard. And we'd have said, okay, I missed you, but I'm going to go to the local college and I'm going to take a spear thrower's class. And I'm going to show you who's going to throw spears. You think you're good at throwing a spear? I'll throw you some spears and then you'll find out. David could have killed Saul two times. Saul was sleeping, you remember the story, and David came along and actually cut off part of his cloak. And later on, David was high on the cliffs, and when Saul awoke, he said, in effect, "Yoo-hoo, look at what I have. I have part of your cloak here, Saul. I could have killed you." All of David's men thought that David was crazy for not killing him. David said, "I will not put forth my hand and touch the Lord's anointed." Wait a moment, David. Get some sense. You are the Lord's anointed too. Chapter 15, Saul disobeys God. Chapter 16, God tells Samuel, go find someone else to be king. He goes and meets the sons of Jesse and ends up anointing David. David could have said, "Oh, Saul, so you think you're anointed? Well, I just want you to know that I'm just as anointed as much as you are. And if you think that you can throw spears, boy, you haven't seen anything yet. Because you'd better put some armor on because the spears are coming your way." You remember what Jesus said, "Do not render evil for evil. You'll never change a spear thrower by becoming better at throwing spears than he is. Don't you dare become a spear thrower. And if you're tempted to, you think of the message that I preached last time in this series about forgiveness, laying it all down. And then, third, learn the lessons that God wants to teach you in the experience. You see, as Gene Edwards points out, the whole point of allowing Saul to continue to rule for 10 long years pursuing David, David running even among the Philistines, David going insane, he acted insane, and truly evil people will sometimes drive you insane. For 10 long years, from one cave to another, from one group of men to the other. What in the world is God doing with Saul? Why doesn't he just wipe him out and give the kingdom to David as planned? Oh, what God was doing is making sure that he was taking out of David's heart the potential of becoming Saul number two. David had it within him to become a spear thrower. He had it within him to be able to do what his own son Absalom did, namely to split the kingdom and to rebel against his father. All of those seeds were in David's heart, and God says, I'm not going to have this man become a Saul number two. The only way I can take the Saul out of his heart is to let him be pursued for 10 long years of fright, of difficulty, of challenge, and of hopelessness. And God says, I'm interested in brokenness. I'm interested in brokenness. Well, this is Pastor Luther again, and thanking you so much for having joined us today. How we thank God for our listeners throughout the country, and many of you support our ministries, and we want to thank you for that. But of course, we don't want to lose focus, do we, that God has called us to brokenness, to a willingness to recognize that everything that we have is His gift to us. And because of that, we need to realize that our gifts and abilities and our kingdom, if you please, is really in God's hand and not ours. Oh, that we might be able to hold to the things of this world very lightly, that we might recognize divine ownership over everything, including our vocations and our opportunities. And when this happens, there's a sense of freedom and release, because at last we know that we are stewards and not owners.
Great insights from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who has brought part two of Dodging Spears, the fifth of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. Monday, more on God's purposes in letting others toss spears our way. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.